From national news in D.C. to behind-the-scenes coverage of the Nebraska Capitol, this is your Capitol Connection. And now, bringing the Capitol to you, here's your host, Nate Groz.
And welcome to the program. We are broadcasting today from the Nebraska Family Alliance Studio in Lincoln, where all eyes are still on President Trump and the Supreme Court vacancy as we anxiously await the president's forthcoming decision on who will fill that seat on the high court vacated by Justice Kennedy. Such large implications for the entire country. Plus, we will also talk about the work being done in the United States Senate to protect life and family values and what it means for us here in Nebraska. But first, we hope everyone had a fun and safe 4th of July holiday, celebrating the battle for freedom in America that was officially launched 242 years ago. We rightfully celebrate that landmark event in human history, the signing of the Declaration of Independence and everything it represents, including the practical freedoms that we still enjoy at this very moment because of the sacrifices that were made all that time ago. But my message today is that that battle is never ending. The battle looks much different than it did over 200 years ago, but it still rages on. And that's evident from just a glance at the headlines over this past week, including major decisions from the Supreme Court that directly impact freedom of religion and free speech. And thankfully, we won some of those battles, including two in particular from a 5-4 opinion last week where the Supreme Court struck down, in the words of Justice Kennedy, California's authoritarian regime that was forcing pro-life pregnancy resource centers to advertise for abortion. And in another case, the Supreme Court also gave us another victory for free speech in another 5-4 decision when it declared that public employees cannot be forced to pay union dues that fund political causes with which they disagree. And in doing so, the majority of the Supreme Court actually even quoted the author of the Declaration of Independence, Thomas Jefferson, who said, "To compel a man to furnish contributions of money for the propagation of opinions which he disbelieves and abhors is sinful and tyrannical." Indeed, the battle that Thomas Jefferson and the founders launched 242 years ago lives on. And there are some really important takeaways here. For example, these might be legal victories, but they wouldn't have ever happened without the tireless work and sacrificial investment in the political arena. Those decisions do not happen if Hillary Clinton had made a Supreme Court nomination last year, and they certainly don't happen if not for the dramatic transformation of the United States Senate in the 2014 elections due to the huge turnout of pro-life and values voters, especially in key states. And second, these victories are 5-4 decisions. Yes, freedom won in a big way, but it is hanging on by just a thread, one vote. So absolutely, let's celebrate with vigor and joyfully thank God for the blessings of freedom that we enjoy in this nation. But then we have to get back to work because there is much to be done and so much at stake. In the words of President Ronald Reagan, freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on for them to do the same. So thank you for engaging on the front lines of this battle through your prayerful involvement and financial support of Nebraska Family Alliance. We are working every day to advance family freedom and life here in Nebraska and across the country in order to preserve our most cherished and fundamental freedoms. And those same fundamental freedoms are what's at stake with this Supreme Court vacancy. President Trump will get to make his second appointment to the highest court in the land, and the stakes really could not be higher, from abortion, marriage, religious liberty, freedom of speech, and so on. There is so much riding on this decision and who the president will appoint to fill Justice Kennedy's seat. And now liberal political strategists and activists are doing everything they can already to block President Trump's next Supreme Court nominee. They're utilizing a multi-million dollar plan of advertising and grassroots activism that is likely to be the most brutal and expensive campaign we have seen to date on a Supreme Court nominee. And with so much riding on this one decision, there is such little room for error. The president must appoint someone who is a true constitutionalist, someone who respects the rule of law and will interpret laws as they are written, rather than creating new laws or forcing their personal views on the entire country, someone committed to the Constitution and preserving our fundamental freedoms. And thankfully, that appears to be the case for most or all of the names that the president has provided from the list of people that he is considering. And after spending the last few weeks interviewing, reviewing, and vetting candidates, the president has reportedly made his decision and will be announcing his selection on Monday, July 9th. And it's quite ironic, really, listening now to the rhetoric from the left, who for so long has utilized the courts as part of their strategy to force their agenda through, not legislatively, not through the people, but through the courts. And now when things are switched and Republicans are in control of the White House and appointing and confirming judges and controlling the Senate, all of a sudden it's shifted. And originally the founders viewed the judicial branch as the weakest or least prominent of the three, but now that's switched to what we know is the court is so influential. And so President Trump, whatever decision he makes, will have lasting impact as his nominee, his second, will get to serve for decades on the Supreme Court. Everyone from across the political spectrum is now weighing in on who the president should nominate, what should be considered, what questions should be asked, what shouldn't. And our good friend Jim Daly, who leads Focus on the Family, Nebraska Family Alliance's national affiliate, someone I have great respect for, weighed in a piece that was published last week on Fox News. And Jim Daly, in this article titled, "With Supreme Court Pick, Trump Can Return Us to the Framers' Vision of the Judiciary." And in this article, Jim Daly elaborates on exactly what I'm talking about here. He writes that one of the most consequential decisions of President Trump's term is coming July 9th, when the president says he will announce his nominee to replace retiring Justice Anthony Kennedy on the Supreme Court. The president has a chance to add to his already stellar record when it comes to appointing judges. In recent decades, the Supreme Court has ruled on some of the most important issues facing our nation, including abortion, the definition of the family, and religious freedom. On too many occasions, a majority of the justices have chosen a regrettable path. Although the framers of the Constitution viewed the judiciary as the least dangerous branch of government, in more recent times it has become the most visible and volatile, undermining our liberties by acting as a group of super legislators. That is why this pick now by President Trump matters so deeply. Roe v. Wade is at the center of the storm surrounding judicial nominations, and for good reason. This tragic decision in 1973 took the issue of abortion away from citizens and their state legislatures, finding the right to end the lives of preborn babies in mysterious constitutional penumbras. This single decision resulted in more than 55 million lives lost. The court made up a right to abortion in the Constitution that didn't exist, and the nation has paid the price ever since. The same judicial activism that gave us the Roe v. Wade ruling has repeated itself in many other cases in which courts rewrite the Constitution to fit their own desired policy goals without remorse. We're weary of the legislator judges who have created a partisan free-for-all that erupts whenever it comes time to appoint a new justice. This vacancy on the court created by the Kennedy retirement represents an opportunity to return to the vision upon which the framers of the Constitution created the judiciary in the first place. The hundreds of thousands of moms and dads who contact Focus on the Family, citizens who value life, liberty, and the freedom to engage in self-government, want to see a nominee who stays in his or her judicial lane and interprets the Constitution according to its text and original understanding. We want a justice who knows how to judge rightly. President Trump has a good number of candidates to choose from, and it's not too much to hope that there's a future Antonin Scalia in that mix. For the good of our country, I pray that is the case. That, again, from Jim Daly, president and CEO of Focus on the Family, elaborating on what many on the right are hoping for and praying for as President Trump makes his second appointment to the Supreme Court, where his nomination will then have to go before the United States Senate, where they will have a hearing. And then, assuming they are advanced from the United States Senate Judiciary Committee, they will go to the full Senate for a vote to confirm them to the bench. And that's where really the multi-million dollar campaign and activism and advertisements really start to take place, targeting United States senators. And thankfully, our Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has really made confirming judges and working with the White House on his appointments and getting them through has been a top priority. And so much of the media's attention is always on the White House and what is the president doing or saying, that there hasn't been as much attention on the United States Senate, where really over the past year there have been some historic changes and huge victories, especially for life and family values. And Jim Daly also had the opportunity recently to sit down with Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell for a one-on-one conversation about the work being done in the United States Senate, particularly as it pertains to religious freedom and faith and family values. And I found it to be a particularly enlightening conversation, and one certainly worth sharing with our audience. This is Jim Daly of Focus on the Family with Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell.
Mr. Leader, let me start with this. We had a chat not long ago, and you mentioned something that really intrigued me. You said something about your 33 years of history here in the Senate and how swiftly you've seen the government move recently. Explain what you meant by that. I'm really intrigued by 33 years of history.
I think for those who would like to see America right of center, which is mostly people like us, 2017 was the best year in the 30-some-odd years I've been here.
And why?
The Supreme Court, Neil Gorsuch, just the right kind of Scalia successor. But it wasn't just the Supreme Court. We inherited a significant number of circuit courts. The circuit courts are just below the Supreme Court. That's usually the last word in a federal case. Not many cases make it to the Supreme
Court. They see a much higher percentage of cases than the Supreme Court.
And in the circuit courts. We confirmed 12 in 2017. Let's put that in context. That's the most circuit judges in the first year of a president since the circuit courts were created in 1891. All of them, late 40s, early 50s. You know, there are 1,200 presidential appointments that come to the Senate for confirmation. We're making long-term changes in the country. Of all the things we could do that would have the far-reaching impact into the future, it's the courts, because these are lifetime appointments. Yeah. You add on to that, we used the Congressional Review Act 15 times to repeal regulations that were overregulating and slowing down the economy. And then we capped that off at the end of the year by a comprehensive tax reform bill that is clearly pro-growth, that's clearly benefiting vast numbers of Americans in every way by giving them more of their take-home pay or bonuses or raised minimum wages and all the rest. So in my view, that is the most transformative thing that we are doing to impact America long-term.
Let me ask you, we all have critics whenever we say something or do something.
Oh, really?
You have felt that a few times. And I'm thinking again of your role. I mean, arguably one of the top three most powerful people in the nation, and you have sat in that position for a long time. So when you weigh the idea of providence and potential and compromise and all the things that you have to do in your role as a man of faith, many within the Christian community can be critical that you didn't win something, that you didn't push something. I just want to give you an opportunity to say to us, here is what really goes on here when it comes to moving agendas forward. You have to live in an environment of compromise. That can be tough for absolutists like us sometimes.
Well, the Constitution itself is replete with compromises. The Constitution itself. And people are sent here from all over the country. And I can tell you, it won't surprise you, a Republican from Maine is a lot different from a Republican from Alabama.
As we know.
Not to mention the Democrats. And so you have to accept, when you go into this line of work, that the perfect outcome is almost never possible. So you try to achieve. Ronald Reagan used to say, if I can get 70 or 80% of what I want, why would I not take it? And so my life is full of compromises, and I think frequently people say, well, you made the wrong compromise. You know, you gave up too much. But my goal every day, if I can, is to get an outcome that's right of center for the future of this country.
So often I'll be criticized by the media, and I'd love to put these questions to you and get your response. When they talk about those things that matter to us, a pro-life perspective, and we do appreciate the fact that you allowed a vote on the paying capable bill for the preborn child. It didn't pass, but you had the courage to do it, and we do thank you for that. Hopefully that'll come back again to where we are saving more babies rather than terminating them. We at Focus on the Family believe in that. We have adoption resources set up to help people adopt these babies, and there are other options rather than the termination of life.
I couldn't agree more.
And we'd be a better nation, I believe, if we did.
You know, the Democrats are actually going in the wrong direction. They now are saying they don't support the Hyde Amendment anymore.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's been part of the law for 30 or 40 years that you don't use federal money for abortion. It's been standard boilerplate American law for some 30 or 40 years. That all changed during the 2016 election.
Right.
And they're actually going further, in my view, in the wrong direction on one of the most, if not the most important issue around.
And away from the culture, because younger people particularly are more pro-life than their parents were, 20, 30-somethings.
Don't you think that technology has been a great ally?
It has been. We've placed about 700 machines in pregnancy resource clinics. We've saved 400,000 babies from termination because of that technology.
Yeah.
So we're really excited about that. But the question is this. When I'm being interviewed by the media, they'll say, why do you support Republicans? If you're Christian, shouldn't you support Democrats as well? And I try to make the point that when President Obama was in place, I don't think many of us on the conservative side thought he would pursue conservative policies. He would pursue what they call progressive policies. And yet if we get a conservative into the presidency or into the Senate majority, they try to shame us to think, why would you support a guy or a woman who's going to pursue those kinds of policies? How would you respond to that, the fact that some of these values, like traditional marriage and like life, show up and are embraced by the Republican Party?
Well, you're making that judgment based upon the policy positions that we've adopted. And that's what Americans are encouraged to do, is
right,
to actually support people who have similar views. And I don't think there's any question that the issues that Focus on the Family cares about are in better position to be accomplished when Republicans control the government. It doesn't mean that you're all in the tank for Republicans. You're interested in the policy and unapologetically supporting those who advocate what you believe in is just as American as apple pie.
And the same for the Democrats. So
yeah,
it's fair game is the point, and
absolutely,
I appreciate that spirit. Let me ask you this. Again, sitting in this seat as the Senate Majority Leader, if you had all the knowledge that you possess right now about the good things and the difficult things in our country, but you're the average voter, what would you be worried about and what would you be encouraged by as an American with the knowledge that you have in your role?
Well, I'm encouraged about the future because America is very resilient. We are so fortunate that these brilliant people who wrote the Constitution understood that the most important thing to be done was to divide the power. Justice Scalia used to say every ten-horned dictator in the world has got a Bill of Rights. What America has is the separation of powers.
Hmm.
So our very system prevents anybody from abusing. There's always a check or a balance. Having said that, there are trends in the country that disturb me a great deal. I'm optimistic that we'll get past it. But, for example, the lack of free speech on college campuses bothers me a lot. When I was in college, I mean, we would have a socialist one month and a conservative another month, and everybody would show up and we'd have great debates, and nobody tried to shut anybody up. And so I'm worried about free speech in America and whether the next generation thinks that it's a good idea to listen to other points of view and to have free and open debate. However, I'm optimistic that these trends come and go in this country, and we generally, you know, after wrestling with stupid ideas for a while, put it behind us. Winston Churchill said about the Americans, he said, you know, the Americans always do the right thing after they've tried everything else first.
That may be true. Mr. Leader, this has been really special. I appreciate your time. I know you're on a tight schedule. Thank you so much for being with us.
That was Jim Daly of Focus on the Family with Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. And we will see now over the coming weeks if the Senate can add to the work that they've been doing over this past year and get the president's nominee to the Supreme Court through the nomination process, through the United States Senate, and all the way to confirmation, confirming them to a seat on the United States Supreme Court. And really, I think that all of this talk and focus on the Supreme Court and on the United States Senate, while incredibly crucial to families and to individuals in Nebraska across the country, it served as a reminder to me that this is why we don't put our ultimate faith or trust in judges or kings or rulers or any politician. And in these coming weeks, regardless of what happens with the Supreme Court, good or bad, it's essential that we keep that in mind and remember that ultimately our trust is in the Lord. But I certainly am encouraged the direction that our nation is headed with some of these recent decisions and developments from the Supreme Court protecting religious freedom and free speech. And I think that there is now the opportunity for that decision and this movement to restore the foundation of our nation to continue to grow. And whatever happens with the Supreme Court nomination and whatever is being done in the United States Senate, rest assured that Nebraska Family Alliance is working every day to make Nebraska the best place to live, work, and raise a family. We are committed to making Nebraska a place where marriages and families thrive, life is cherished and protected, and religious liberty is affirmed and celebrated. And we engage on the front lines of these policy battles, these difficult issues, because these are the issues that really matter. Marriages and families are the fundamental building block of all human civilization. And to maintain a stable society, it is critical that we have strong marriages that provide a safe and healthy environment for children to grow. And of course, we want to make sure that all life from conception to natural death is protected. We support efforts to protect the lives of the unborn and oppose any efforts to end the lives of the disabled and elderly. And when it comes to religious freedom, our most cherished freedom, the first freedom for a reason, it's much more than just the right to believe what we choose or what we want within the four walls of your own home or within the four walls of a church on a Sunday morning. It is the priceless freedom that has been bought with the lives of countless Americans to live and work according to your beliefs 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, without government interference. That is what we are working for and working towards, and we hope that if you are not a part of the Nebraska Family Alliance yet, that you will be. You can find more information about NFA and our work by visiting NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org and stand with us as we stand for families in Nebraska. It's great to be on the air again today. We'll be back next week with more updates and information. I'm your host, Nate Groz, Policy Director for Nebraska Family Alliance, hoping you will join us again next week. Thanks for listening to your Capital Connection.